Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, is brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK.
Coming up on this week's show, Upfront talks to versatile actor Jocko Sims about his role on NBC's New Amsterdam. Troy Powell, artistic director of Ailey 2, opens up about their Atlanta engagement at the Rialto Center for the Arts. And the cast of the new romantic comedy Love Jacked takes over. I'll also be playing music from the OJs, Candace Springs, and Kathleen Bertrand, who celebrated a birthday this week. But first, here's Reva Blue with this week's casting buzz and entertainment news.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Central Casting is looking for men and women that are 18 years old or older that also appear to be in their 20s to early 50s for an upcoming scene on the Fox drama Star. The scene requires the actors to be comfortable skating on four-wheel quad roller skates. If this is you and you are available all day Wednesday, October 24th, without time restrictions, please email your name, phone number, and a current photo and current sizes to star@centralcasting.com with roller skate in the subject line of the email. In other related entertainment news, congratulations to award-winning interior design star Michelle Boyd. He is one of three new hosts of Bravo's new series, Buying It Blind. This series will follow different couples that can't decide or can't agree on what kind of home to buy. At a breaking point, they decide to take a radical step and blindly hand the decision and their entire budget over to a team of three industry experts who will be charged with making the choice for these couples. Watch the teaser trailer at WCLK.com. In theaters this weekend is The Hate U Give, starring Amandla Stenberg, Issa Rae, Common, and Russell Hornsby. Star witnesses the fatal shooting of her childhood best friend Khalil at the hands of a police officer. Now facing pressure from all sides of the community, Star must find her voice and stand up for what's right. The movie is based upon the Angie Thomas book of the same name. Watch the trailer at WCLK.com. That's this week's casting buzz and entertainment news. I'm Reva Blue.
Atlanta Tribune, the magazine, presents Moving Your Business Forward at the Gathering Spot on Tuesday, October 23rd at 8 a.m. The Moving Your Business Forward series provides entrepreneurs information about how today's technology relates to devices and entrepreneurial services. The event will include networking opportunities, continental breakfast, breakout sessions, and more. Registration information is available at atlantatribune.com. This is a reminder from Atlanta's Jazz Station, WCLK.
This is Iyanla Van Zandt, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
You just heard classic R&B from the legendary trio, the OJs. Their music will be featured in this weekend's Ailey 2 performance at the historic Rialto Center for the Arts at Georgia State. The world-renowned dance company is back for a second year and is touring the globe as part of Ailey's 60th anniversary. I caught up with the company's artistic director, Troy Powell, to chat about what fans can expect this weekend and much more. Troy Powell, welcome to Upfront. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am doing just fine. We're so happy to have you guys back in Atlanta for, I believe this is the second year, right, at the Rialto?
Yes, this is the second year in Atlanta, and I think it's great that we're back. We're excited to be back. Atlanta's such a great city, and it's such a great initiative that we're starting with Destination Dance.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because that's sort of a new initiative that was, I believe, started last year with the city of Atlanta. It's also part of the city's celebration, the Elevation Festival. And I just wanted to talk about that partnership, because that fuses dance along with workshops and just a lot of information. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, I think because we've been coming to Atlanta for so many years that ALEE has definitely partnered with the city of Atlanta to celebrate its relationship. And ALEE has been so successful coming here in Atlanta, performing at the Fox. Even when I danced in the company, I performed at the Fox back in the 90s. And they just created this initiative where ALEE would just have more of a presence here in Atlanta.
Okay.
With our school, as well as our outreach, ALEE Extension, ALEE 2, and the Alvin ALEE American Dance Theater.
Cool. Now, this tour that you guys are on right now is part of a 60th anniversary tour. You guys are going to 38 cities, and from in reading the information, you actually handpick your dancers. And I was going to ask you, what do you look for in new talent when you're looking for dancers?
Yeah, I'm just sort of following the journey, the vision of Mr. ALEE, because when he started ALEE 2, he handpicked 12 of the most promising dancers from the ALEE school. And we look for dancers that are, yeah, very strong technically, very well trained, dancers that are willing to reveal themselves. We look for dancers the age 19 to 24 that we feel that will be open, dancers that will be passionate, dancers that are really ready to work in ALEE 2 for 2 years before they hit the professional stage. So we really look for dancers that are hungry, dancers that are really willing to express themselves as young artists.
Okay. And this weekend's show, there's a variety of performances that will be taking place, but two in particular that I wanted to point out is the Yuri Sands tracks. Let's talk about that one.
Yeah, Yuri Sands is a former member of the Alvin ALEE American Dance Theater, and I invited him to create a work on the dances this summer entitled Tracks, and he came in for about 3 weeks and worked with the dancers for 3 hours a day. And what I liked about Yuri is he did a lot of talking. There was a lot of dialogue between the dancers and himself. And the first thing he asked the dancers was, how do they feel about the country that they're living in today? And each dancer gave their little experience and how they felt about what's going on in the world today that related to their own experiences, and he came up with a work that sort of like ties ballet, modern, and urban dance techniques to the soundtracks of the OJs.
Oh, wow.
Arthur Davis and Willie Rafis, and it really talks about all different types of points like racial, sexual, and economic divisions in our world today. So it really talks about, it touches a little bit on each of those things and how those things are dividing us in this world today, the climate that the world and this country is going through.
Okay.
So he takes us on that journey from beginning to end.
So let's talk about Bradley Sheever's Where There Are Tongues. That was a very interesting title. So what's going on with that performance?
Yeah, right. Bradley Sheever is also a former ALEE dancer. He danced at the school as well as ALEE 2.
Okay.
And he's a young emerging choreographer. And I wouldn't actually say emerging. I've been watching his work for many years. And he created a work called Where There Are Tongues, and it's inspired by the idea that we're all in this world together, whether we're succeeding or failing, but we have each other. Like, we have that support, and we have each other's energy and spirit and passion to support one another. The music is awesome. It's a French a cappella group called Le Corps de Plana, and it couples with Bradley's sort of like quirky style, and it makes the dance pulsating and it's racing, and it's a great challenge for the dancers.
Wow, it sounds exciting. It sounds really exciting. We had mentioned at the top of the interview that you guys are traveling to 38 cities around the globe. You guys started back in September and you're going to go all the way through May. What do you enjoy the most about that tight schedule? Because this is, I mean, when you think about it, it's like, okay, 38 cities, but when you're looking at the amount of time that you guys are traveling, that's like almost half the year. So what do you enjoy about touring?
Well, the one thing I really enjoy about touring is watching these young dancers grow. As I said earlier, I danced in Ailey. I danced in Ailey 2 as well. And I think traveling, when you get to see other cultures, when you get to work in different theaters, when you get to meet different people, you get to learn so much. And I think one of the great things about traveling and working with Ailey 2 is watching these dancers take that next step each and every millisecond, and they take it with such humanity, and they grow individually as well, and I enjoy every moment of it and watching each and every performance and each and every performance progressing each and every day.
Yeah. Now, outside of Atlanta, what's another city that you guys just love to perform in?
Of course, New York City, our home base. You probably could have said besides New York City.
Yeah.
Well, we love performing in all different types of cities. We love the bigger cities. We love the smaller cities that are intimate. We just got back from Sumter, South Carolina, and that was that's a small intimate city, but the audiences were just wonderful. As long as the audience can really get what we're saying, as long as we touch them, as long as the energy of the room, of the theater is there, then we can really connect in such a profound way.
Yeah. Well, Troy Powell, thank you so much for being a guest today on Upfront. Ailey 2 is performing tonight at the Rialto Center for the Arts at Georgia State, and that begins with a pre-show discussion at 7 p.m. and showtime is 8 p.m. So can't wait to see you guys tonight, and good luck. Or is it break a leg? I don't know. What is it with dancers? I know for theater it's break a leg, but what is it for dancers?
It's married.
Okay.
Which means break a leg.
Okay.
Or you could say good luck or have a good one.
Okay. Well, have a good one.
Thank you.
All right, Troy. Thank you.
Our fall membership campaign is October the 25th through November the 5th. During this time, we're asking that you add your name to our rolls as a new member or by renewing your membership. You don't have to wait until the campaign begins to become a member. Make a financial pledge of support today quickly and securely at WCLK.com or call the membership department at 404-880-8280. Do it today and thanks. Member support, impacting the community through jazz.
Here I am, a stranger in a dangerous land. I'm in emotional quicksand. Won't somebody grab my hand? There you are, shining like a movie star, blaming like a new guitar. I should have known that's who you are.
Peace world, it's the Love King Raheem Devon, and you're listening to Ray Cornelius on Upfront.
You know, my attending wouldn't even let me look in the OR the first 3 months of my residency. I can still hear him in my head. Reynolds, you're more likely to cut yourself than the patient. I don't know, old habits die hard, I guess.
Well, the difference is you train these residents.
Yeah, well, but I don't know, if something had gone wrong.
Okay. Do you know what feels even better than being in control? Letting go of it. Don't start where you can't finish.
The
That was a snippet from NBC's medical drama, New Amsterdam, featuring my next guest, Jocko Sims. The classically trained actor was in town recently at Midtown's Swanky STK for an Atlanta press tour where he talked about the joys of playing Dr. Floyd Reynolds.
First and foremost, I wanted to be a real doctor when I was in high school. I had a medical symbol on my high school ring. I was in the top 5% of my class. I was the president of my Spanish club. National Honor Society had all the credentials. I was like, I'm going to do this. I got to college my first year and said, I do not want to be in school for the next 12 years. I've always been a little creative, so I took a theater class, moved to L.A., finished up at UCLA, got my B.A. in theater, went on my first audition, booked it. Went on my second audition and booked it. I was like, okay, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And then, since then, you know, I've been working for 16 years. I've always wanted to play a doctor, and quite as kept my last two roles were doctor. I was on The Resident, yeah. I did two of them, and I was so happy I shot that here. That was almost a year ago, and I was like, oh, I'm a doctor, two episodes. Ooh, it's cool. Wow, it's, you know, just great. And then this came along, and I got it. I just couldn't believe it. Now I'm going to be playing them for hopefully a long time. And it's just really resonating with me, just all the scientific stuff, and to be a surgeon specifically, it's just great. So this is, by a long shot, like my favorite role.
Jocko also expressed his newfound love for Atlanta.
Now the business is just leaving Los Angeles for many reasons. I'm sure you guys have heard the tax. They don't give us any tax breaks over there in L.A., so it's leaving. I heard for the first time ever, Georgia is the biggest production state ever. So it's L.A. is not even L.A. no more. We here, number one. So I knew that I was really fortunate enough to be on a show called The Last Ship for 5 seasons. My job was 20 minutes down the street for 5 years. And I only got to do it because the star of that show, Eric Dane, he said, I live here, and my home's in Beverly Hills, my kids here. Because they wanted to shoot it in Virginia. And he was like, no, if y'all want me, then. So I got lucky. I was there on the show. While I was on that show, I had shot a couple other shows. I traveled to Detroit, I traveled to Vancouver, I'd done some stuff, and I'm like, I saw what was happening. I came here, and I said, you know, I'm going to be somewhere else. And I said, God, when I get my next show, please let it be New York or Atlanta, because I had so much fun and I enjoyed my time here last year. The answer to the question is that I love it. Any game in New York.
Thank you, Jocko Sims. New Amsterdam airs on Tuesday nights at 10 p.m.
This is Karen White, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
Dad, this has to be the most beautiful place I've ever been in my entire life.
You ready to come home?
Mtumbe Bumburi.
I have some really wonderful news. And Mtumbe asked me to marry him. When you meet him, you will love him.
This guy's African, right? He needs a green card or something. Come home.
Mtumbe.
Welcome home.
Where is he?
He's coming. Next week.
Do you know what time it is?
I'd like to be left alone if you don't mind.
I was actually talking to the waiter.
Sorry, just having a really bad day.
With your fiance coming tomorrow?
I don't even know what this guy looks like.
You didn't tell him that you called it off?
That was my money. You're a dead man.
Oh my God!
Hey, it's me!
What are you doing in my truck?
He's after me. He think I stole his money.
Did you?
No!
That was a snippet of the trailer for the upcoming romantic comedy Love Jacked, starring my last guest, Shamir Johnson and Demetrius Gross. The story is centered on Maya, a headstrong 28-year-old with artistic ambitions, and her father, Ed, who wants a dutiful daughter to run the family store. Ed is shocked when Maya decides to travel to Africa for inspiration and returns with a fiancé. Love Jacked also stars Amber Stevens-West, Keith David, Marla Gibbs, Mike Epps, and Lyric Bent. Check out my conversation with Johnson and Gross, along with the film's director, Alphonse Adetuyi. Shamir Anderson. Anderson, Demetrius Gross, and Alphonse Adetui. Welcome to Upfront. How are you guys?
Thank you.
Great.
Thank you. Great.
Thanks for having
Thank
us.
Thank you for the warm introduction, Ray.
I am so excited to have you guys here in the studio. You have an amazing film that is coming out in theaters very soon, and we're talking about Love, Jack. Let's start with you, Alphonse. Where did the inspiration for this film come from?
Well, I think that it came from wanting to look at relationships, especially in the African-American community, that are so, you know, there's so much variety. And we were, my brother and I, my brother wrote the script, Rob. He also wrote another movie called Stomp the Yard a while back. And he just wanted to look at, you know, our different relationships, our families, but, you know, through the lens of humor.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where it started, really. Yeah.
So I got to admit, when I saw the trailer, I was like, these guys are crazy. This is going to be funny. And Shamir, you were a part of that. I already was a fan of your work through Shots Fired. And
Thank
when
you.
I saw that you were in the film, I was like, okay, this guy is a little nutty, so I know that this is going to be fun. How did you connect with the project?
Like every other actor, you get a script and you get an audition. And I read for Alphonse in Los Angeles. I did a chemistry test with Amber Steven West. And one thing led to the next, and then I started working with them. And a funny story is Alphonse had told me that he had already casted me even before I auditioned. You know, he said that he saw my past work, which was a drama, and he saw through my dramatic work that I could do comedy. Don't ask me how or why. That's an Alphonse question, but I'm grateful. And he saw me in that film, and he remembered me in this project, and he gave me an opportunity of a lifetime to star opposite some incredible players such as Marla Gibbs, Amber Steven West, Keith David, Mike Epps. I mean, Demetrius Gross, everybody. You know, it's just I'm the only Canadian outside of Nicole Lynn, you know, that was, you know, starring in that vehicle, which is incredible.
Yeah. Now, what about you, Demetrius? How did you get connected to the project?
I got connected to the project through Kim Harden. Shouts out to Kim Harden. Amazing casting director. She's put together films like Black Snake Moan and
That was awesome.
Yeah, she put that together. And she introduced me to Alphonse out in Pasadena. We had a long, thoughtful, riveting conversation about the importance of bridging the gap between African stories and African American experience, and how, you know, Love, Jack is an opportunity for us to discuss Black love and its multi-dimensional, multifaceted kind of way. Yeah. And we were both excited about what I did with the role. I was excited about what his vision was and what his brother had written. And it felt like a great fit. And once I found out who else I was going to get to be in the movie with, I mean, as soon as I got the call, I was like, yep, I'm with it.
Now, you guys got an opportunity to work, and you had mentioned this earlier, Shamir, of working with some legends, Marla Gibbs, Keith David, Mike Epps. What was it like working with those guys?
Legendary.
It's a masterclass in comedy, timing, and what would you say? Just overall set savvy, right?
Right. These are professionals at the highest level. They've experienced not just only comedy, but the art of performing in so many different capacities, you know. And so to be able to be in that company allowed me to, as Demetrius said, it was a masterclass. And you really got to see the best of the best at work at the highest level. It's smooth, I think, is one word to describe. Everybody was just smooth, you know. And Marla Gibbs said, "You're funny." I'm like, what? I got Marla Gibbs telling me I'm funny?
But specifically with Marla is you realize that the adage that says less is more translates as much to comedy as it does to drama, because usually, you know, the laugh goes to the ham in comedy, he who or she who makes the biggest splash. But what I keenly remember about Marla was how subtle she was able to be.
And quick and
able to garner a lot of laughs just from saying one word. Like you said, just quick. She has perfected her craft, and I think, to me, she was one of my, like, that was one of my gems that I'll walk away with, mm-hmm. is that I worked with this woman who I grew up watching.
And Alphonse, did you automatically know that you wanted them to be in this film when you were putting it together? Like, oh, this will be a great character for Marla
Totally,
Gibbs.
Yeah. Totally. And I went after these characters, and even Keith David, if you'll see when you see the part of the dad, I just said to my brother when he showed me the script, okay, who can play some, you know, who could say some of these lines and not really offend people? And I could only think of one person, and that was Keith David. So Keith David. Just flew to LA, and he was on a show called Community. Okay. And I just popped in the script, and he says, I have two daughters. I get it. I'm in. Yeah. So I was really happy. But what I really learned was I've done mostly drama, and what was interesting for me and very new in comedy was the amount of improvisation. Because, you know, I'm used to the script. It's mostly, you know, every word. And I was looking at a scene. It's like everybody's going everywhere. You know, Shamir brought stuff in. Everybody was bringing stuff in. Uh-huh. And it was a lot of fun. Just took me, you know, a day or two to get used to that they can go anywhere in this. I mean, we do follow the script, but they have such good instincts for comedy, each and every one of them, you know, and that was a lot of fun.
And how was that for you as the actors, being able to just improvise? Because a lot of times I know when I've talked to or interviewed other directors, sometimes they want people to stick completely to the script, but being able to have that flexibility, what was it like for you guys?
I mean, for me, I improvised with or without permission. That was just me to keep it 100% real. Like, I just, in my work, I usually do what I feel is best sometimes, in respect to the writer, of course. But on this particular set, I mean, the character, he's flamboyant, he's loud, you know, he's unconventional. And in order for me to tap into the places that I did, I needed to take those jumps. And Alphonse was so gracious as a director not to fire me after the first day for going off book. But I mean, and to my surprise, when I saw the film, the editor kept a lot of the stuff that I improvised, you know, on set, which is amazing, you know, because usually that stuff usually gets left on the editing room floor. And she was so kind and kept a lot of my material. So when you guys watch the film, a lot of that stuff is credit to the writer helping me get to that place. Some of that stuff was ad libs, but I think with improv, it's really case by case. This is a film where I think it really allowed it to play and play free.
Yeah. What about you, Demetrius?
I found that I was on stage with some heavy hitters. Oh, not on stage, but on film with some heavy hitters. So when I did improv, it only felt like improv, but it was really like things that I had practiced, you know, at home and like and brought to the game, you know. I tend not to improvise on the spot. I'll come up with like a few different scenarios that I've like worked out, and then in the moment it'll have that spontaneous feel.
Yeah.
But I come from like theater and stage.
So that's automatic for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Alphonse, let me ask you, part of the film was shot in South Africa. So what was that like as well for you guys?
I mean, it's just wonderful. It's a wonderful backdrop. Cape Town is a beautiful, beautiful city on the ocean, southern part of South Africa. It's just amazing. And I think it adds to the romance that's in the film, just the look. Yeah, so it's wonderful, you know, and working with the South African crew, with they bring in a whole flavor into the film. So yeah, I've done a number of things there. So for some of them, it was new. I've been there many times. I did a few TV series as well in South Africa. Yeah. So it's always my go-to place. Talented people, it's a wonderful place to work.
Now, Keith David's character is leaving his auto shop or hardware store to his daughter.
That's right.
And so we wanted to ask the question of, you guys went into the creative arts, you're a filmmaker, you guys are actors. How did your parents feel about you guys going into that? You know, because most parents will say, go out and get a good job. You know, whatever a good job right. is, you know, usually a 9-to-5 somewhere.
My mother never actually said it was okay for me to be an actor, but she left every reason for me to know that it was okay to be an actor. So, for instance, I did a book report really early on, right? When I was a kid, like we all do book reports, but it was on Benjamin Banneker. So she decided, instead of me doing a book report, she wanted me to like to stand up in front of the class and present it like a monologue. So she took her socks and gave me her socks, and I put them on like stirrups and like, had sweatpants and made them like look, you know, like that old like 18th century vibe. And I took like a scarf. So she was always along the way encouraging me to be a performer, even though, you know, I come from just like a blue collar hardworking family. You know, they weren't in the arts, but they kind of championed me jumping out there like that. What about you?
my mother is Jamaican. And so anybody who has Caribbean parents will understand that Caribbean parents and the importance of education is number one. So my household was a lot of get the education. Yeah. Get the education. So that's kind of what I got, you know, growing up. And so with that being said, I did go to school for criminology and I minored in forensic psychology at a university in Toronto. And I did that, but at the same time, I did theater school for 4 years because I really liked the art of acting. And so I was like, I want to do this. You know, I'm from the hood, so like all of my homies were acting, you know what I'm saying? So I'm like, how am I going to do something a little different? And that's what I did. And my mother supported me as long as I got an education. But, you know, deep down inside, I know she, you know, she's unconditional love. So whatever path I chose, she would support me anywhere I went. So, you know, it's funny because like acting is allowed her to meet some of her heroes, you know, such as like Oprah and Marla Gibbs and just the work that I've done in the past. So ultimately, she's a very happy mother and she gets to point to the screen and be like, that's my son, you know, and she's seen Love Jack probably like 13 times. Like, I think she has it at home on DVD. I'm like, how do you even have that? How do you have it on DVD? She's like, no worry, my oot. You know what I mean? But my mom's a big fan of this film and a big fan of the key players in the film. So Alphonse, thank you for allowing me to work with Marla Gibbs because that's one of my mother's heroes. So it all worked out for the best.
Yeah. Alphonse, what do you think is the takeaway message of Love Jacked?
The takeaway message, I guess, is the fact that, you know, we have lots of different stories to tell, basically. You've referred to it, Demetrius, as, you know, black love. Well, you know, it's that. It's about family. It's about, like I said, bridging the Africa and North America, you know, African-Americans together. But basically, it's about a sincerity of between people. And I think that comes out, especially in our last scene of the film where it all comes together and you see the emotions and you see the love for each other at the end of the day. And that's what kind of wins out is love.
Yeah. Well, guys, thank you so much for being a guest today on Upfront. Again, I'm talking to the cast of Love Jack, Shamir Anderson, Demetrius Gross, and Alphonse Atatoui. Guys, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Information about the film as well as watch the trailer at WCLK.com. Thanks.
Comes out October 26th.
Thank you.
Ray Cornelius. Follow me on Instagram, official Shamir Anderson. What's your Instagram, Demetrius?
Well, yeah. Give me your social media handles.
Good looking. Yo, my Instagram is Demetrius Gross, at Demetrius Gross, all one word.
And ladies, that voice matches that beautiful chocolate face, so make sure you follow him. It's booming. You hear him? I'm Demetrius. What's going on? I play Mutombe in Love Jack. Ray Cornelius, we in Atlanta, baby. We out here. October 26th, Love Jack.
How can they follow you, Shamir?
Official Shamir Anderson is my Instagram. But most importantly, you got to follow Love Jack the Film's Instagram because you'll see all the updates, all the trailers, all the content, contests, and everything that you want to see Love Jack because we come out what? October, what is it?
October 26. 26.
You know it. Love Jack, we out.
Well, that'll do it for this week's show. I'd like to thank all of my special guests, Jocko Sims, Demetrius Gross, Shamir Johnson, Alphonse Atatouille, and Troy Powell. I would also like to thank my engineer, Jami Wellman, and you. Please join us next Saturday, October 27th at 9 a.m. for another exciting edition of Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry. Happy Saturday, Atlanta. If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, has been brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK, an NPR member-supported station. Thank you.